The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday in Ephesians chapter 5, and we consider what we can't afford to do. Plus, there may be more than just a few pounds that we need to shed. Hint, hint. And finally, good partners is good thinking, but bad partners is a bad idea.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You can text us. That's right, you can't call us, but you can text us. 214-210-8483. 214-210-8483. Keep in mind, any topic is open for a conversation because it's not professional radio. Nope, it's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. So for those that do not know, today is Expository Thursday, and we're going to have a good time doing that, but I want to give a shout-out to our ministry partners. I want to give a shout-out to Mr. Restore, who's been a great partner for us, great blessing for us. We encourage you to, if you have any fire and water damage cleanup issues, if you have any sewage problems, smoke, wind, flood, doesn't matter, Mr. Restore is the restoration service that can help you. We also want to encourage you to check out Kimberly Ellis, fantastic sister in the Lord, her and her wonderful husband, Tony, great in real estate, can help first-time buyers, experienced investors, and foreclosures and short sales. Plus, if you got to do some moving, the people to talk to is going to be our good friend, Johnny Hill, and Men of God Moving. You're always able to reach all three of these through hemustincrease.org. HeMustIncrease.org. Now, normally, we don't do much of a shout-out on Expository Thursday. It's the one day we reserve. But I think that it's worthwhile to note that these are people that help keep the show on the air. So one of the things we want to do is be a blessing for them and let them know how much we appreciate it. The other thing I want to tell you, don't forget, if you want to follow us on Twitter, our account, David Spoon, at Spoon Experience, because that's my handle. That's if you want to follow us on Twitter. It's pretty much the same thing as the website, but Noah, who's a good friend of mine, just wants to keep it going. So I'm like, okay, keep it going. Not a problem. The last thing to remind you of is the Christian DNA, which I never want you to forget. D, draw closer to the Lord. N, never be ashamed. A, always be ready. DNA. D, draw closer to the Lord. N, never be ashamed. A, always be ready. As you know, we've had some tech problems, in and out, in and out. We're doing the best we can. We hope it's a blessing and it doesn't sound too bad. Well, I do think that you will hear some amazing stuff today, but it will be challenging. And I'm telling you, how often do I tell you what you're about to hear is going to be challenging? It will be challenging. That's okay. Let's just talk a few minutes about what's going on today. Very important day for those that do not know. You might be thinking, why is it important? Well, today is National Zucchini Bread Day, and that's important to me. Also, National Cherry Cheesecake Day. Come on. These are just winners all the way around. Finally, it's National English Muffin Day. I mean, are these just three great things? I mean, what happened to the 23rd of April? All of a sudden, it's this wondrous food day. Who knew? It is also Take a Chance Day for those who are thinking, I'm going to try something I haven't tried before. I have a wonderful, wonderful, one of my best buds in the whole world going to be thinking about launching into a Christian t-shirt company. I would encourage him to do it, not just because it's Take a Chance Day, but we need as much of the message as we can get out, and he's already got some really awesome designs. We are going to be probably giving away some of his t-shirts as winning prizes for our trivia. So just hold on to your horses. Should be fun. Also, on this day, for those that do not know, I think this is a rather funny thing, but on this day in 1915, the first partial drive-in theater was opened. The Theater de Guadalupe in Las Cruces, New Mexico, was an auditorium parking for about 40 cars on the theater grounds, and this took place in 1915 on this day. 1954 on this day, Hank Aaron hit his first Major League home run. For those that are baseball fans, you should be going, that's pretty cool. And then in 1985, this day will never be escaped from the marketing people and all the universe. This is the day they introduced New Coke. Coca-Cola had changed its 99-year-old formula, introducing what they called as New Coke. I'm just simply going to say in the nicest possible way, really nice, just being super positive, oops. That probably could have just taken a pass altogether. Okay, let's get ready, folks. Guess what time it is? It's expository teaching time.
Wow! 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 All I can say is wow! 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 All I can say is wow!
I mean, how could you be any less excited when we're talking about expository teaching? This is the time. This is the place where we get into the Word of God. We dive into it. We see what it has to say. And today we're in Ephesians. For those that do not know, we are in Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going right to it. Ephesians chapter 5, get ready, verse 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We probably won't get to all of it. We're going to do our best. It says this, "But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them." Now you know where the whole partner thing comes into play. So the first thing I want you to know, before we get into this and dive into this, because actually the next segment's where we're going to really rip the words apart, is to understand the significant difference between conviction and condemnation. We need to know the difference, and know the difference what comes from the Holy Spirit, and know the difference what comes from the Word of God, and know what's the difference that comes from the world. So watch this, 2 Corinthians 7, 8 through 13. "Even if I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it. I see that my letter hurt you, but only for a little while, and yet now I'm happy because you were made sorry, not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance. When conviction comes from the Lord, it leads us somewhere. It doesn't just make you feel like garbage. And sometimes, certainly in the world, the way that they address things, they just try and make people feel like garbage. What God does is try to convict and then move us to a better place. So here's what the rest of that scripture says. "For you became sorrowful as God intended, but you were not harmed. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death." Did you get that difference? As we go through this, we're going to be talking about sexual immorality, impurity, greed, how to be God's holy people. We're going to talk about obscenity and foolish talk and coarse joking. And every one of us, in some degree, could say, oop, I'm a little too deep in that. Oop, I'm a little too close to that. The purpose of the scripture is for you and I to draw closer to the Lord and for us to shed those things. That's why that whole intro on we need to shed a few more than just pounds. There's a couple things we probably just need to shed or get rid of. What the Lord does when he brings conviction in our life is brings us life through that conviction, because we hear the word and we go, got to do better than that. Yeah, I'm not doing real great in that area. And what we're going to find out, and it might blow your mind, is all of these things that Paul identifies that we got to do better in, that we're going to look at, they all actually have only one thing in common. And we're going to look at that underlying expository common sin that we're all going to pull from and go, man, got to do better for sure. This is what he says in that 2 Corinthians portion. He says, see what this godly sorrow has produced in you, an earnestness, an eagerness, a longing to get things done right. At every point, you've proved yourself right in this matter. Here's the bottom line. When we get convicted by the Lord, when the Holy Spirit convicts you while you're walking, not just through this show, but when you're walking in life, when you're driving in your car, when somebody cuts you off and you go, yeah, I wish the earth would explode right here and a big hole would open up in the ground and that person would be sucked under. Or when you're watching television and you see some of the people who are supposed to be political leaders and you know they're lying through their teeth, and that part of you goes, I wish your teeth would just completely fall out and that all the plastic in your face would just drain out and we wouldn't have to worry about the oceans. When you're going through that, that's where our sensitivity to the Lord needs to be greater, where our compassion needs to be more powerful, where our mercy needs to be stellar, because God had mercy on you and me. And because of that mercy, we need to be able to extend mercy. Remember what we said just a couple days ago. It's really hard for us if we don't receive compassion to give compassion, and we need to be a compassion people. So you don't really want to rejoice when your enemies fall or when they make mistakes, and you don't really want to wish the most evil things upon them. And I do this from time to time. Don't kid yourself. Don't lie to yourself. Don't be one of those people that's kind of false or fake or phony. But then I know shortly thereafter when the Holy Spirit goes, that's not right, I need to go, yeah, that's not right. I need to do better. And so it's not just me. It's you too. It's all of us together. So when we come back, we're going to get into this text, and we're going to talk about sexual immorality, impurity, greed, and how that affects us as God's holy people. Plus, we're also going to do trivia, so I don't want you to go too far. Got a lot of stuff to handle. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, and we'll be back.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
What's happening is the churches and educators and our government and everybody is too concerned about being politically correct. And what's happened is the walls have fallen down, and we need to rebuild them, and we need to build them back. And the only way we can do that is with God's people taking a stand.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I will say, especially in regards to the political correctness, it's just man's attempt to establish their own righteousness apart from God. And that's why it has so much confusion attached to it that nobody can figure out what's going on, because it goes all over the place.
Well, the only hope for America is not the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. Our hope, my hope, is in God and his people taking a stand this coming election season. And let's get men and women in office. And again, I'm not telling people to vote for, but we need to take a stand for God's truth and his righteousness.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I just want to thank you and extend a thank you to you for taking the time to come on the show, sharing with us, giving us that perspective. I appreciate it. And it was a privilege and an honor for me to have you on the show, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me. God bless.
All right. God bless you, too. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Pastor Franklin Graham.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer, or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to let you know, if you want to reach us, you can do so by texting 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Here's our first trivia question. What is the town in Galilee that Jesus grew up in? In other words, if they were to say, well, he went to this junior high, or he went to this high school, what town would that have been? If you think you know the answer, 214-210-8483. I wasn't talking about nursery school. I was talking about, you know, junior high and high school. What town did Jesus grow up in Galilee? The number 214-210-8483. If you think you know the answer, if not, go look in the scripture. Just don't Google it to get to the answer. Okay, here we go. So in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, it says, among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Okay? All right. Please don't forget, you got to text that number if you have the answer. I can't answer it by phone. All right. Sexual immorality. Porneia. Or it's porneia, technically. It's unhealthy sex. Whoa, it's unhealthy sex. Okay. Can we just have a honest conversation? This is sexual immorality. This is lust. This is fornication. This is adultery. This is not sex by itself. You think, well, why would you say that? God created sex. I know it's hard for people to get this, but God created sex. God created man. He created woman, and then he created man to be able to get together with women to have another person. And the marriage bed, the Bible said, is undefiled. And if you read the Song of Solomon, as much as every very unique scholar wants to try and make it spiritual, nobody ever thought the Song of Solomon was spiritual ever until about the 14th or 15th century. So for 4,000 years, nobody even thought that. Why? Because there is this unique gift that God has given between a man and a woman. Not a man and a man, and a woman, but a man and a woman. And that part of it is healthy, and that part of it is honorable. And if you're married, and you and your wife have all of these things that you like to do, and you both enjoy them and you like them, fantastic. It doesn't matter if the neighbors down the street like it or anybody else. It doesn't matter. It matters what you guys like, as long as it's good for you guys. That's the key. But what this is talking about is unhealthy sex, like fornication and adultery. If you want to get the easiest definitions of fornication and adultery, I'm just going to use the ones that have been standardized over the last probably maybe 2,400, 2,500 years. Fornication is sexual intimacy outside of marriage. Neither partner is married. Neither person is married, I should say. Adultery is sexual intimacy where one or more of the people involved is in a committed relationship, but they're having relationships outside of that honor bed, outside of that marriage bed. That is what is uncool or unacceptable. So fornication and adultery are sex outside of their parameters that are acceptable to the Lord. It's unhealthy sex. If you have an excessive lust element going on, you can't stop thinking about it. You can't stop processing it. Just be honest about that and come before the Lord and go, hey, I need some help. I need this to be better. I need this to do a better job. Right after the word of sexual immorality is the word impurity. And impurity has to do with an unclean mind and an unclean heart. It's closely connected to sexual immorality, but it goes even beyond the sex realm. It's just genuinely unclean. It's when you maybe in your heart want to hurt somebody for real versus just wishing they'd just get their up-and-comings. You want to be a part of that up-and-comings and hurt them. That's an unclean heart. That's an unclean mind. And you don't want to have that. That's what Scripture says to stay away from. The next word it uses is greed. And here's how you'll know if you're greedy about something, because greed doesn't just have to do with money. Greed has to do with never being satisfied. It's always wanting more. There's always a hunger. There's always a thirst. And it's too much, and you won't, it just nothing satisfies. Well, in John chapter 6, verse 35, it says this, Jesus declared, I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. In Jesus, there is a satisfaction point. That's why it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But a person who's operating in greed never finds that satisfaction. Always wants more. And again, this can be greed for money. This can be greed for, of course, sex. This can be greed for power. It can be greed for fame, recognition, anything along those lines. Whatever it is that's going on in our system that can't be satisfied by the Lord, there's a greed factor connected. So what the Scripture says is, hey, sexual immorality, the unhealthy sex, the fornication, the adultery, the stuff that's just really pushing on you that you won't stop doing, the impurity, unclean minds, and the unclean hearts. And by the way, that impurity, that comes from the word of polluted water, to give you an idea of where it comes from. And then greed, which is an active, constant word, which always wants more, it's always satisfied. The Scripture says these are improper for God's holy people. If you are a person that struggles with these, here's the bottom line. By the way, that's John chapter 6, verse 35. If you're a person that struggles with these, you need to be aware that you need to come before the Lord and have him work on your system. You don't have to sit there and big woe is me and take out a billboard sign and write on the sign, I am a loser. You come before the Lord and you say, help me, I got to do better. I'm way off on this stuff. And I need to be better. And when it says in that the end of that verse, it says, these are improper for God's holy people. The holy part is the people that are set apart from God. And you think, well, set apart from what? Set apart from the world and the worldly system and the world patting people on the back for being this way. The world pats people on the back for being sexually immoral, for being impure, for being greed. One of the famous movie lines in all of moviedom is, greed is good. That's exactly the opposite of what Christianity teaches. And so these are the things that you need to be aware of that God wants you and I to set apart from, pull back from that. And if you're not there, it's not an issue of you, oh, I'm going to do this perfectly. Probably not. But you can come before the Lord and say, I need your help to do better in this stuff. This stuff is killing me. And you just need to be honest about it. And so why I think that's really important is because people are afraid to say it. Look, sex is not a sin. I'm not sure what happened in the church. It kind of reminds me of what the rabbis did back in the day. So they had the Ten Commandments, and then they had the various laws that came throughout Leviticus and Deuteronomy and some different parts. And then there's 613 laws, and then somebody said, well, there's 619 laws. And it's like, okay, you guys want to fight about six laws? There could be a law in there for being stupid. Well, let's not get into that. But what happened is then they came up with the Talmud and the Mishnah and all these different things to create bigger elements of bubbles away from breaking the law. So they weren't trying to irritate people. They were trying to keep people away from breaking it and breaking it, get farther and farther away. Well, the church did this, and the church does this. We don't say the word sex because for some reason it's wrong, and what they'll say, and if you want to use lovemaking for sex, that's fine. I don't care. But what they'll say is they won't even talk about it. They'll build a barrier to it and another barrier and another barrier, and then they become excessively prudish, and they can't even say Adam knew Eve, and they had a child. But don't say anything about the word he knew her. What are you talking about? That's in the book. It's part of it. There's an entire book devoted to making love and being romantic with one another. Why would you deny that? That's who we are. That's what God created us to be. That's one of the blessings, the side blessings. It's like everything else, though. We take something God gives us and we pollute it. Just like everything else, God gives us all these great things, and then we mess it up somehow. And that's what he wants to keep us away from. And so he says, don't do that. Don't be like that. That's not what the people of God are supposed to be like. Don't be sexually immoral. Don't have unhealthy sex. Don't have excessive lust, fornication, adultery. Don't have impurity going on. Don't have greed functioning. These are all bad things. Be set apart for God. Find your satisfaction so that there is a quenching. Find that in the Lord. He'll help you. And then when we come back, I told you it was going to be tougher than you thought. When we come back, we're going to get into that next segment. And this is where legalism has gone off the rails. So we're going to get into this next segment and talk about that. But all of this for you to understand that whether it was President Clinton thinking that all kind of sexual activity was fine outside of his wife, which of course we know it wasn't, all that stuff going on in society that justifies it, which we know it's not justified, what a genuine Bible-believing born-again Christian will do is come before the Lord and say, help. That's all. You know, and again, don't build a monument to it, because that's another thing that I think some churches lead people to do, build a monument to the sin. Confess it, acknowledge it, surrender it, and believe God will help you get through it. After all, the blood of Jesus is greater than any dumb thing we get stuck in, isn't it? Of course it is. All right, and a lot of people responded to the trivia question, and the answer was Nazareth. I don't know if he went to the high school Nazareth High, but it was, in fact, Nazareth. Good job by everybody. We're going to take a short break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, and we'll be back.
Destroying everyone and everything we find.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax-deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
John 7:24, stop judging by mere appearance and make a right judgment. That's all good. For 1 Corinthians 6:2, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? You can't say Christians can't judge. They're commanded to. Here it is right here. Ready? Here's the bowling ball knocking down the pins. Every day as Christians, we have to judge what is appropriate, proper, healthy, and useful. Also, what people we believe we should hang out with, trust, believe in, or let influence, we have to judge that on a regular basis. When you choose your church, you're using your judgment abilities.
Bazinga.
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 Bazinga. I love that. Because listen, when you're choosing your church, you have to decide to pick one over another. Oh, here's the key. You're going to hate me. Ready? Here it is. If we have no ability to judge, we can't vote.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. So I do want to let you know, if you want to reach out to us, the way to do it is to text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. We do have another trivia question. I'm going to ask it in a second. I'm going to get there in a second, so just get ready, okay? And for those that are sending me pictures and stuff, I get all of them. So I just want you to know I appreciate it very much. Again, we're going to do a trivia question just a second or two. 214-210-8483. It is a little tougher because it's got to be that way. You got to keep growing and developing and going forward in the Lord. Our website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Great place to see the last interview that was done on me, somebody interviewing me, as well as some of the different teachings in audio and in visual, in video, and as well as access to about 2,397 hours of podcasts. A lot of stuff, a lot of material. You're welcome to it. You're welcome to share it. You're welcome to do anything with it. I've never monetized it. Even though the listing says about 215, we've had probably about 330,000 downloads on that. So it's been pretty cool. But we've never touched, never a penny for that. We don't do it that way. Email david@hemusincrease.org. david@hemusincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. And YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. The trivia question. Okay. Ready? The trivia question. Here we go. How was Jezebel killed? Oh, got to think about that one. How? So she had quite the problems and very disobedient to the Lord and very much not a nice person. Since we're talking about sexual immorality and impurity and greed, her picture just seems to fit that perfectly. So how was she killed? 214-210-8483. And now we'll continue because we're not going to shy away from teaching the entire Word of God. Verse 4 says the following: nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. So there's a small problem in the church from time to time where they'll take a principle or a concept and they'll make it something a little different, okay? they'll make it like, I guess the app went out, so that's not the greatest news. So hopefully the 770 app will come back. But they'll make it worse than it is. And one of the things that we're told to eliminate is obscenity. And obscenity is, in fact, filthy language, but it's filthy sexual kind of language. It's not just somebody saying a swear word, which in our culture has become altogether different. It is much more along the lines of sexual filthiness that's being talked. And the next element it talks about after it says there should be no obscenity is foolish talk. And the word is marola goya, from which we get the word moron. Uh-oh, I guess we disappeared completely on the internet. That's a bummer, folks. That is a bummer. So here's what we're going to do. Tierra, are you there? What we're going to do is I think we'll do a hang-up and call back and see if we can pull it back, but I can't do much about that. So, Tierra, what I want to do is I want to hang up and then call you right back and see if we can possibly pull it back together. Here we go, okay? So everybody just pretend I'm taking a really big yawn.
A Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David...
Okay, so we did a reboot, ladies and gentlemen. That was me yawning and burping, and hopefully it will help some of the people for the app, and it could be the 770 app that went out. Can't do much about that. I think my app is working fine, by the way. The quality of our app, but that's all I got to say. So I want to go back to that. So obscenity is filthy language, but it's filthy language that's much more sexually oriented. Foolish talk is morologia, which is moron, which is stupid words. So it's not just saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. It's really using, I want to say this really nicely, as nice as I can, but it's really using moronic words for sounding conversation. And so the scripture, it's in the first part in the obscenities, it's talking about filthy sexual language and obscenity. In the second talk, it's foolish talk. That's not imitating somebody. That's just saying super stupid things on a regular basis. And it's like they have no logic to it. They have no common sense to it. There's nothing that's in place. And then coarse joking, just so you can know, is a vulgar wit. In other words, it's not humor in and of itself. It's somebody, again, that is, it's either sexual or it's super dark humor. It's not a sarcastic joke. Even the word sarcastic, though, means to tear, okay? And that's typically you don't think that's a positive thing. But Paul uses sarcasm. Jesus uses sarcasm. Everybody uses that. But the coarse joking is a vulgar wit that is kind of injurious. It kind of is there to cause pain. It's kind of what they say when they make fun of Christians. I mean, that's a really great way to think of it. Keep this in mind. When we're talking filthy language, when we're talking stupid words, when we're talking vulgar wit, when we're talking obscenity and foolish talk and coarse joking, you're talking about the extremes of language that have an intent. Either they're dumb or they're meant to hurt or they're sexual in nature and it's kind of like dirty joking kind of mentality. Humor is a gift from God. The Bible says a merry heart makes like medicine. The other day, my wife and I won't tell you which one, but we watched a blooper reel from the past, like way back in the past. My stomach hurt so much from laughing, and my spirit was so blessed from the laughing process. It was amazing. And it just shows you how a merry heart, a joyful heart, a happy heart, a heart full of laughter gives us almost, it's almost medicinal. It almost just helps us. You go through the things that we're going through in society right now, and you look at the stay-at-home order, and some places are extending and some places are lifting, and I can guarantee you in the next 60 days you're going to see up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. And all of that can get very depressing and discouraging. But as a Christian, There is a joy in the Lord, which is your strength. And laughter is a part of that joy that you get to enjoy. And God made that as a part of your system. And when you laugh, you release endorphins, which are the very things that make you feel better about yourself. And the irony is, if you really need something to help you laugh, buy a small mirror. Buy a pocket mirror, put it in your pocket, every so often pull it out and look right at it, and you should have every reason to laugh right there. God made you. How funny are you? How funny looking are you? How funny looking is everybody? We think the platypus looks funny. What do you think the platypus thinks about us? Right? It's just understanding what's proper and what's not, and not leaning to the dark. Not being a person who's trying to support filthy language. Not being a person who's supporting stupid words or vulgar wit. But understanding that there are a multitude of things that are funny, that are laughable, that are enjoyable, and that come from God. Now I want to show you the big key. Remember I said there's going to be one thing that threads them all together? In verse 4, it says, there should neither be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. The scripture focuses on the fact that all these things that we might get engaged with are apart from God. And therefore, God gets no praise. God gets no acknowledgement. God gets no glory. And what we need to do is be a little bit more in touch. Hebrews 13:15 says, therefore, through Jesus, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. We should be a people of thanksgiving. We should be a people of praise. We should be a people of laughter. We should be a people of joy. And those expressions that give glory to God are awesome. Right? Now, you might get offended, and so I have to be somewhat careful because I need to be aware of my brother, and I don't want to do something that's going to put a stumbling block in front of them. But when my mom and I would talk when I first became a Christian, and we would share that roses are red, violets are bluish, if it wasn't for Jesus, everybody'd be Jewish, we think that's funny. I think that sings to the glory of God. In fact, I praise God for it because I laugh about it. But it doesn't offend me. It might offend others, and there's no intent to do that. But for me, it's not breaching my conscience. I, though, need to be aware of other people around me, which is why I don't share a whole lot of that. Just a few pieces here or there. The idea is this. That if what we're involved with, and remember, the filthy language, the stupid words, the vulgar wit, the obscenity, the foolish talking, the coarse joking, those are all words. They're all things that are said. And we're supposed to be giving praise and acknowledgement to God. And that's why it's really important for us to get that, well, if what we're engaged with is something you'd be ashamed to say if Jesus was standing right next to you, don't say it. There you go. That might be a great way to do it. Might be a great, you know, what would Jesus do? How about this? What would Jesus think if he was listening? That might be a good system. Okay, so the last question that I had asked is, how was Jezebel killed? The answer was, she was thrown from a window. Thrown out a window. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
I did what most Christian men would do when they make a mistake It's their fault. There's nothing but humiliation on your face, and you're trying to recover in the moment. And you know what I did? I blamed it on every possible unseen force except for myself.
You have chosen wisely.
So guess who knocked that crystal light on that white carpet? It was Satan, by golly. Well, it was at that moment, because it certainly wasn't my fault. I didn't knock the crystal light all over. It was my glass. I did pour it. I did bring it to the table, and somehow fell on the carpet and spread everywhere. And by golly, I wasn't going to take the blame for it, because that would be taking personal responsibility. Well, I'm not taking personal responsibility. After all, that $500 deposit we just had that we were hoping to get back when we move out is already down to $200. And it was dropping by the dollar as the stuff was spreading.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Do want to let you know, if you want to reach us, 214-210-8483. I do want to give people a shout-out. Good job by Joy. Nailed that down for how Jezebel was killed. Great job there. Again, if you want to text us to say hi, I think we've got all of the little electronic things worked out. It seems like all the apps are working. Hopefully it is for you. If not, you're not hearing me say this anyway, so it doesn't matter. Again, 214-210-8483 if you want to reach out to us. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email, david@hemustincrease.org. And if you don't like sending emails, on our website is a form that you can fill out to send us a message. We'll be glad to respond the best we can. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry, and YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. So as you can tell, sometimes when you get into expository, you go where the scripture goes, and you just go for what it is. And we've been talking about tougher issues, and we should be. We should be talking about these issues as well as encouragement issues. That's pretty important to cover all of it. Keep in mind, the kingdom of God and your walk with God is not one genre. It's not one element. It's not always faith. It's not always happy. It's not always sad. It's not always up. It's not always down. I've been doing this really major study in the Apostle Paul, and in especially in Acts 27. I mean, this guy was told by the Lord, you're going to Rome. You're going to testify. And literally no less than seven times in a small span, it says, the way was difficult. The wind was contrary. They were going to drown. I mean, it was just one thing after another. That's a part of it. Part of the walk is not that a person in the perfect will of God doesn't have obstacles. It's that God walks with you during the obstacle. When the disciples were in the boat and the boat was going to sink, where was Jesus? In the boat. That's the key. He was in the boat. All right? Okay. All right, so we've covered verse 3 and verse 4. We're going to hit verse 5, 6, and 7 real quickly of Ephesians 5. It says, for this you can be sure, No immoral, impure, or greedy person, the stuff I was just talking about, such a man is an idolater, which means that he worships idols and other things, not the Lord, has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. In this context, which you have to use context when you're doing scripture, and you have to use it to understand. You can't just pull. If you pull just one word here and one word here and one word here, then you come up with bizarre conclusions, right? So somebody can say Judas hung himself, and then another person could use another verse and say, go and do likewise. It's like you got to be really careful on how you put these things together. And so the scripture teaches us, look, there's no inheritance for these kind of people who are going to follow idols. They're going to follow the created versus the creator. They're going to follow worldly systems. They're going to follow Satan without even realizing it is Satan. None of those people are going to inherit in the kingdom of Christ and of God. There has been a small group of people that tried to make a distinguishment in the kingdom of Christ and of God. It's the same thing. It's the same statement, the same mentality. There's no distinction there, so don't get all overly excited. It says, let no one deceive you with empty words, which means words that have no value. And here's how you know that it has no value. Because after you hear it, you're none the better for it. That's how you know it's got no value. When you watch television, it could be just a time consumer, kind of like a noise filler. It could be something silly or a little entertaining. That's fine. But when somebody's trying to philosophically, spiritually, or reasonably bring you to another place, and by the time you're done, you think, I am nowhere, I am empty. There's nothing that came out of that. Those are people with empty words. And God's wrath comes on those who are that way. And the scripture says this, and it's amazing. Don't partner with them. It doesn't say never listen to anything. It never says run away from them and stick your fingers in your ear. It says don't partner with them. And there's a big difference between hearing some of the pontificators on television and knowing what they're doing and what they're trying to accomplish and you partnering with them. It's one thing to hear it and then dismiss it. It's another thing to embrace it and let it become a part of you. So this partnership that God wants from you and I, he wants this partnership to be on the right plane and on the right scale of existence. And this is why, and you'll hear me say this, I get a little more irritated or angry when you have Christians get mad at other Christians because they think that in the tulip theology or in the non-tulip theology that that's where they should all be fighting and total depravity and limited atonement and perseverance of the saints and things like that, that that's where they ought to be mad at one another. It's like, you ought not to be mad at another brother or sister who comes to a different biblical conclusion. You ought to be much more concerned and separated from the people who can't stand Jesus Christ in the first place. You ought to make a big difference there. There are Christians who are going to see things different than you between now and the trumpet. And in fact, you don't even see things the way you did 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or if you're like me who's been a Christian for over 40 years ago, 40 years ago. 40 years ago, there was one eschatology, there was one mindset, there was nothing else, and everybody else was just a loser. It's 40-plus years later, and I've learned that the body of Christ has different parts and has different elements, and they don't always look the same, they don't always sound the same, but they're all connected, the same Father, blood relatives drinking of the same Spirit. That is substantially different than who God is saying don't partner with. He's talking about people that his wrath is going to come upon because they are idolaters. They are against God. They have anything in place of God. They have no inheritance in the kingdom of God, and they relish in their sin. And that's a huge key, especially especially if you read the end of Romans 1, you'll really understand. They relish in their rebellion. They love it. They love worshiping the created thing more than the creator. They love that process. Well, don't partner with them. You may say, well, they're my relatives. Even your relative does not deserve the kinship of your spirit from which you've committed to God. It's not to be exposed to the kinship of polluted spirits. It's not that you don't love them and pray for them and talk with them and have Thanksgiving together, but you've got to be careful who you connect with spiritually. Because if you connect with somebody that's perverted spiritually, what makes you think the end result is going to be good? Here's a thought. Now, it's a tough illustration, but just bear with me. I'm just in the mood, so you have to put up with me. If you're a light and you want to shine in darkness, that's fantastic. But what happens is that people who are light stand on a chair and they say, look how light and bright I am, come to the light. They reach down their hand and try and pull somebody up who's in the darkness. It's a lot harder to pull them up than it is for the person in the darkness to pull you down. And you got to be aware of that. Not that you don't fellowship, not that you don't talk, not that you don't love. You just have to protect your spiritual life. God has birthed again in you a spirit that is going to enjoy his presence forever. You're born again. You need to be protective of the spirit with which God has birthed inside of you. So don't partner with people that will pollute it. It's not that you don't talk to them, not that you don't engage with them, not that you don't share the gospel with them, none of that. But this partnering has to do closer to the marriage mentality of sharing and being intimate in such a way that you merge. Well, you don't merge with darkness, do you? No, you don't. So when it says, for this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an adulterer, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ of God, let no one deceive you with empty words, because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. He's not talking about regular believers. He's talking about those who are disobedient and love to be disobedient. And then he's like, don't partner with them. Be careful. Be aware. Because God has made within you a newness that goes on into eternity. Next week, when we get into verse 8, 9, 10, and 11, you're going to see how it all flows together and how the Lord breaks it down. This is the intro to this next section. Should be pretty fascinating. I certainly hope it'll be a blessing for you. And I hope you remember this. God is with you. Take courage. Have a fantastic rest of the day. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We're taking a 23-hour break, then we'll be back. Talk to you then.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.